Good morning. Good morning, Rob.
What's up, Rob?
How are you guys?
Great. We got some good stuff to talk to you about.
Awesome. Fire away.
No, I just want to, you know, the last call, we made our Boston trip this weekend.
Awesome.
And I think, you know, it really worked out great. And here's why. I mean, I think I told you. So Sam is a tennis player. We're old tennis buds. We met this other guy who's a good friend of Sam's, who's also an executive recruiter for a lot of venture capital private equity firms. And so the three of us really have, you know, come close together in the last year or two. So I went up Saturday, played tennis with them in the afternoon, hung out. We went out to dinner Saturday night with Sam, his wife, his son. I had a niece up there. We went out. And then Dave came up Sunday. We also then had this, I participated in this tennis group that Clark runs, and it's called the VCs and Entrepreneurs. That's sort of the qualifications to get into this thing. And they do it every week, and then they have like a social hour after with, you know, some beer, some food, stuff like that. And then Dave joined us for that. And Rob, some of the freaking brain power in that room that day blew us away. These guys were so... How about it, Dave? How about the futuristic guy?
Yeah, there's some impressive... Yeah, there's I wouldn't use the term because I'm not the coolest guy in the room, but, you know, some nerdy scientist guys that are talking about molecular biology and God knows what else, and Rick and I, we're trying to bring the conversation back to finance and the economic side as opposed to the... in-depth scientific side, but it was certainly interesting.
But the one guy was just talking about how he does all these TED Talks all over the place. He has a book on, he's a futurist, one of the most renowned futurists, I guess, and he's a hard... What's that?
What's his name?
Dave, we got it, Steve. He's going to send us his link.
Yeah, he was going to send us... I couldn't get... He had told us his last name, but...
Yeah.
I don't remember. I'll find him though online.
Well, I'm gonna, you know,
and we have all his, like, we know all about him. I didn't get his last name in the conversation.
I actually have a note today to I'm gonna send to Sam to send him the link to that. But a brilliant guy. And then, you know, he said, oh, by the way, you know, and the other thing I do is I'm the, you know, CEO of a publicly traded company right now too.
his last name is so. He's the CEO of a company called Gemfire Therapeutics, and his last name is Stephen Gulans, G-U-L-L-A-N-S, or Gulans, Gulans, I don't know how you pronounce it.
What's the book he wrote? Is that there? Do you see that?
I can tell you.
It's easy to tell, you know, but it's supposedly like, and it goes, again, it goes all over the country and talks about this stuff, and his consultant. He was a Harvard... professor for years, and he said he just wanted to finally go on the other side to make a difference.
Oh, G-U-L-L, did you say?
Yeah, G-U-L-L-A-N-S. So, and he's the author of a book called Evolving Ourselves. That's the book that he told us about. That he said, you got to read my book, and it's all about, you know, the evolution. I don't know if it's more on the health side evolution or... I think it's more from like the healthcare and, but yeah, he said, you got to read my book, Evolving Ourselves, Steve Gulans or Glans.
Watch his TED Talks too. That's great.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very interested in, I don't know why, I always have been, but I've always been very interested in the future and biotechnology and artificial intelligence and robotics and all this stuff. I mean, this is a, you know.
Well, Rob, you could have, if you were in this room, you could have had the conversations literally with those. I mean, these are all Harvard guys. And there's one of the, and it was crazy.
Well, it's fun because it was so much fun. They're really living. They're not, you know, they're not watching the world. They're creating the world, you know, the new world.
Oh, exactly. And So in a sense, though, we were talking, and I want to have a further talk with Clark, who organizes this, because just like you call your mastermind group, this is his mastermind group.
Of course it is. It's genius.
It's and they do it once a week, and every week, you know, they do it for 2 hours. And the way he does it, too, it's almost like a round robin type. He tries to match up equal levels, but then after every set or something, you move up or down and you rotate partners so that you get to know everybody. And then he makes a few announcements. Like, I guess he has a couple of others. Like, there's a law firm and there's another accounting practice or something that help him underwrite this so that it's not just it's on him. And he allows them to say a few words. And then some other guy, you know, with this, it was from, what is it, Long? It's Longwood, right? Is it Longwood?
Longwood, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I told you.
Exactly.
This place is awesome, right?
Jesus. So they had a guy from there, and he was saying that they're doing this fundraiser there. They're raising, you know, money for these after tennis programs. And, that was a true master. I thought you would, like, a mastermind group. That's
and I just sent you both while we were talking the link to that the book, and it says a little bit about him and his quote unquote partner co-author that he's been involved. Again, from this guy Steve was I wouldn't say he was the most humble guy in the world. He loved to tell us how great he was and everything else. But ultimately, you know, later in the conversation when he was out of the conversation, our client Stan did say, you know, he's like, that guy Steve, he's an absolute genius, and he's like world renowned. He's investing, and he has a venture capital company. He's written books. He does these TED talks, and he travels all around the world. And he even mentioned, he's like, yo, I'm investing in certain companies. And the other day, he was a big name dropper. So he dropped, the other day, Leonardo DiCaprio. I talked to him. He wanted to invest in my company, and I told him no. he was one of these guys. He's a mover and a shaker, and he wants to tell you how he is. But it was a very interesting conversation, and we shared a couple beers together, and got to meet him and talk to him. And he's a big skier, and he loves tennis, and so we got to hear a little bit about himself and his kids, and so we got to know him a little bit. But it was at least a good introduction.
So it was. Go ahead.
Let me just logistically, these guys are not members of Longwood, right?
Maybe one might have been or two, but they do a couple of events there. And then Clark organizes this one fundraising event in September there, and I think I'm going to go to that this year.
So where do they normally play tennis then?
Well, at various places, but every week they play at this, it was an indoor club in Sudbury.
Okay. So they played indoors at Sudbury, but then they went to Longwood, or was that a separate event?
Oh, that was a separate thing. No, that was a separate thing. That was just, I think it was a member, because he was wearing the Longwood, logo on his chest, and he's a member, and he's saying that they're going to be doing another fundraiser there in a couple, next month or something. But they do this other larger fundraising tournament in September that most of these guys are involved in.
Really cool. That's really good.
And Clark let us know that he's looking for a wealth management underwriter, too, so.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
But it really was, just that thought, the discussions afterwards, and they all know each other. They all know and that whole, one thing we came away from, that whole Boston area, as you probably know, Rob, is a biotech there's so many biotech life sciences companies up there that it's and they all know each other.
Right. It's a gold mine. That's where I produced for 7 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, see, so I know Boston. I mean, I grew up in Hingham. And,
okay.
Commuted to Boston every week. My brother was there for 40 years, as a financial advisor. So, I mean, I know the market, but I don't know it today.
Sure.
I knew it then when Teradyne and Millipore and, those companies were all just, fairly new. And now, but they were all MIT spinoffs. They were all guys from MIT started companies. Yeah. And
these guys were all, and all the guys who were with over the weekend, they're all Tufts guys. I mean, they all kind of linked through, obviously tennis, but also through Tufts, and they all know kind of one another through that network.
Right. Thermo Electron was one of my clients, Teradyne, Millipore. I mean, those were great companies that I did business. You know, I didn't do their commercial paper or anything. I just did business with their executives. But I was very familiar with them. And, you know, from an investor point of view, it really, it was very helpful for me to be able to know companies really well and have executives in those companies. I was a much better investor. And that's the part I kind of miss from, I try now the best I can to stay up with equities because I love equities.
Right.
But meeting people that are making the world change and investing in their companies. And you find a person's passion, you go right down that path, you know, right with them. And they'll love you.
Well, so that was the lead-in. So that was, I'm glad we made that decision to do those 2 days early. Like, I went 2 days early, Dave came the day before, so we really got a chance to meet a lot of people in addition to Sam Clark, but it really set the stage for the next morning when we were going to Sam's company, Homology. So we were there, and he said, we have a management meeting at 11, so we have a window between 8 a.m. and 11. So Dave figured, okay, that'll be good. We'll be able to get out of here by 11. We were trying to set up another meeting with this partner in a law firm up there, but he was traveling that day, so he couldn't make it. But we figured, 8 to 11, that's plenty of time. We would be able to, show Sam the stuff we were working on, and then he wanted to show us around his company. Well, when we started, so Sam literally just went into because it's only been less than 2 years, Rob, and now they're going public in a month and a half, I guess. And so Sam, we just asked, how did this all start? And Sam was one of the first people, but the chief scientific officer and the CEO, they all worked together at Shire, and it wasn't like a group package. Sam was the first one, and these venture capital guys who gave them the seed money really were the ones also, they're doing the recruiting. And they happened to be talking to the other ones independently, and then Sam sort of connected, and he told the whole story on how this came together. But even these venture capital guys, it's a different world, Rob, than what we live in.
I know. Yeah, I know.
And Sam probably talked, how long, Dave? At least 30 minutes.
The first, and we just kind of sat there and listened, but he kind of went through, we kind of walked in and we're saying, wow, this is great, it's great to see like, what you've created, and then, so he's like, well, let me tell you, so he went on for about, 30 to 35 minutes of kind of giving us the full backstory of how he connected with this VC guy in Boston and how he was kind of almost recruited and how he helped recruit the other, CEO and CSO of the company and, kind of the formation of everything and how quickly things have taken off and where they were facility standpoint before, where they are now, where they plan on going. So he had that kind of this whole strategic vision, but also kind of gave us much more of the backstory behind the company and their partnerships and, what their plans are for the future.
Oh, and tell them how the VC guy got a hold of Sam.
Yeah, LinkedIn. It was all through the VC guy who is the lead partner, young guy in his like mid-30s, Indian descent. He said, this guy's a genius. He's the head partner of 5AM Ventures, a VC firm. And he reached out to Sam through LinkedIn because he had heard Sam's name or had talked to some people in the industry. And Sam saw his name and thought, I get these kind of requests all the time. And he said he has a lot of, there are a lot of people and he saw the guy's name as an Indian name. He's like, I get these requests all the time. There are probably some guy looking for a job and they want to friend me. And then he like comes to the second look and it says 5AM Ventures. He knew of the name as a VC firm. And he said, oh, that's interesting. So he accepted it. and the guy ultimately sent him a personal message through LinkedIn, you know, saying that 10 minutes after Stan accepted the connection, I'd love to sit down and talk to you. I'm looking, you know, to build out a team. You know, let me know if you'd be interested. And then that kind of is what spurred, you know, Stan to meet with this individual and kind of start the beginnings of Homology. So it was an interesting story, but it started with LinkedIn, which was a good little learning lesson.
Okay, so holy shit. And so then we went into, we you know, came up with a presentation, and one of them was just, you know, what the start, we just did a performance review of his own portfolio, where it was at, how it's positioned, yada, yada, yada. And then we went into the financial plan that we created for him, and we talked about it, how we, all along the way, we were, you know, updating his financial plan, and even before he was taking his position, we updated it to see what worst case would be if this thing just didn't work. And so we went through that again, and again, we started off, and Dave, you know, said, this is worst case. This Homology is worth nothing. And so we walked him through the whole thing. But then we, you know, he talked about what he could be expecting. Remember we were talking, Robin, might be $3 million. So, Dave, tell him about the valuations that we were talking about.
Yeah, I don't know if he, again, it's so tough because a lot of this stuff is somewhat, you know, it's an unknown. So, you know, especially where they are now in the process, you know, where they're going to price the stock, what is the, he'd mentioned a couple options for a reverse split before they go public. You know, to get that price, you know, an IPO price in that $15 to $20 range, I guess is right now their goal. But he made it seem like when we were going through the financial plan and assuming, you know, $1 million after-tax liquidity event or a $2 million after-tax liquidity event, Sam was like kind of chuckling, like, yeah, that's, you know, that's really, really, that's not going to happen. And we said, well, explain. And he said, well, you know, I have right now, I believe he has 1.2 million shares that are currently owned by him. He did the 83B election, so he's already paid the taxes on the 1.2 million shares. He said, I would assume either a 3-to-1 or a 4-to-1 reverse split. So my 1.2 million shares will become most likely, you know, 300,000 or 400,000 shares. And again, we're looking at price in that $15 to $20 range. So on the high end, you're talking about 400,000 shares at $20 a share. That's $8 million. So he said, I mean, I'm looking at it more of like, you know, in my math, the way I think it's going to work out is that $5 to $8 million range upon going public. And he said, and then obviously there's, you know, the fact that we might get, you know, a 50%, 100% premium and an offer to be taken out by Novartis or these other big cap pharma names that are partnering with Homology, or, you know, the fact that all of their competitors that are currently public, Editas, Intellia, CRISPR, these are all companies where he said they're in a very similar stage right now where they are, being a private company. They're in a pretty similar stage from a clinical standpoint. So he said there's no reason why us valued it at $500 million and these companies are valued between $2 and $2.5 billion, you know, there's no reason why we should not be at a very similar valuation because we are at a very similar stage in the clinical process and we've gotten there extremely quick. So again, a lot of it is, you know, it's a lot of talk, you know, who knows, but the way he made it sound was, you know, my 300 or 400,000 shares of this company at $20 a share, that's looking at the stock, you know, the company as a $500 million company. We don't, there's no way we're never selling these shares at that valuation. We're never going to be bought out of that valuation. We're looking at our company as at least a $2 billion company today. Like that's right. His interpretation of where the market is and the public markets are. So,
right.
You know, it could be pretty much he made it seem like a $20, $30 million number is not like outlandish. Like it's not like a pie in the sky, you know, fingers crossed. It's like a very real possibility that each of the executives' stake is that could be $20 plus million.
Yeah, yeah. No, that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, that
wow.
That seems very logical to me.
Yes, and Sam is, and I would say he's, unlike that other guy, Steve, Sam is extremely humble, and he's not a guy that really blows smoke. Like he was very matter of fact about, you know, guys, this is what we're doing. And then I don't want to jump the gun, but then he ultimately said to us, you know, I want you to stay here, and I have to run to an hour meeting. And I want you guys to say, grab a bite to eat. So we grabbed some sandwiches. We grabbed Santa's sandwich. We went out Rick and I grabbed lunch, came back, went through more Sam stuff, and then he wanted to give us a tour of their current facility and then take us over across the street to their new facility that they're currently outfitting, which is a two-story, like, all-glass, beautiful building that's, like, 100,000 square feet that they're re-outfitting for their new offices. And obviously, I think he said they're hiring another 50 to 100 employees over the next year. So, I mean, it's a very impressive story.
Very impressive. But just like Dave said, before we knew it, Rob, it was close to 10:45, and his management meeting was going to be starting. And he said, I want to continue this, because he was really engaged in everything we were talking about, because we were talking about future things. If this, and it was just he said, no, I really like it. And then he brought his CEO in just to introduce, to us. We met the chief scientific officer, so the three principals of the firm, but they were going to the management meeting. So then we can, as they said, we grabbed a bite, we did some stuff, and we continued it. But then afterwards, Sam said, we really, this face-to-face, Rob, was like the only way to do this. And Sam just, when he introduced it to the CEO, he goes, these guys handle all my money, they take care of everything, and, we're up here today discussing, my own situation. And so we actually left some materials with Sam, because Sam said, how else can I help you guys? And we said, introductions would be great. And he's going to personally talk to the CEO and the chief scientific officer and give him more information.
And those are guys that he's been working with for probably close to a decade. They all work together at Shire in different parts of the R&D process. Sam, Albert, and Arthur. So the three of them had a very long history of working together, friendship, et cetera, et cetera. And he pretty much said, Sam was the one who helped recruit the two of them, to come join him at Homology. So Sam's a huge proponent of an advocate of us and our business. And again, every time we were in front of others, he made the point, Rick and Dave, they manage all my money. I moved all my stuff to them. They do a great job. They're at UBS. Like he's very vocal and helps kind of, show the value. And he made a point to both Rick and I. He turned around and said, guys, this is where, if you're looking to grow your business, this is where you need to be. I mean, just look at the amount of money and all the growth and the talent. And he's like, we're just one. Look around and we drove through this whole little industrial park and, every single thing. Another biotech, another healthcare company, another consulting company. So he's like, listen, we have a lot of connections. We know a ton of people, between him and this other guy, Clark. He's like, your growth strategy, clearly you should have another part of your growth strategy that's in this area, and I'd love to help you in any way I can.
That's really good. I mean, that's really important. Fascinating.
So it was. So we look at that. Rob, I wouldn't have changed a thing. It worked exactly. Did we walk away with money? No, but we walked away with just increased confidence from Sam, introductions to others. And he's, as Dave said, he's definitely a proponent and would help us. He's going to make the personal introduction to his other two execs. So you never know. We were also thinking at the time, if his two other guys were seeing, because we were there for, three quarters of the day, and I'm sure, they're going to talk, and they're saying, what are they doing? Because, and if their guys aren't talking to them about this stuff, that's going to raise a red flag or just say, hey, maybe I should be talking to these guys from UBS.
All right, so think about, I'm thinking about, all networked through tennis, right? And they now have time to go and make plans and go to the U.S. Open or do any of that stuff. So I always tell you guys that the one thing that they don't have is time. They also don't have access. And they have plenty of money.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
These guys may not yet, but they will.
They will.
So what you can provide them is efficiency and access. So think about that. And what you could do through your tennis connections and the Bryant brothers and all that, that would give them a heck of a weekend.
Yeah.
And keep that tennis connection going, which would then leverage you through this whole group of technology people.
Yeah.
Technology people are not athletes, so this is kind of an interesting.
Well, some of the, I can't say the level, Rob, was the highest because.
They're just a bunch of duffers. But who cares, right?
Well, I said I have to tone this down because I didn't want to come in looking like I'm a serious guy to try to take advantage. But it was social.
You got to tone down your tennis. But what do you think about that? I mean, what? You've done some really interesting things in terms of entertaining clients, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, so what about that? Once a year, you bring these guys, down from Boston, and you put on a show, whether it's U.S. Open, or what would you think would be the right fun thing for them to do that they get a kick out of?
Well, I think anything like that. I mean, it's obviously, they are passionate about tennis, and anything wrapped around tennis, U.S. Open is, it's in between, so it's not as far from Boston. Bringing them to Philly might be a little bit of a trek, but we're thinking of, right now, Dave and I, we're trying to, we're in the process with Emily and us and our other manager, Ted, who's a member of the Philly Cricket and Germantown Cricket.
Yeah.
To do a tennis, and we're thinking tennis and golf, but I just definitely have the tennis.
Tennis. I mean, that could be a purely a tennis, a tennis type, morning tennis and lunch or something like that, or afternoon and cocktails, whatever would fit better in everyone's schedule. I think that also could be a really nice, networking appreciation type event. We would have to get the Boston guys to make the trip down.
Half the time, guys, it's the invitation.
Really? Yeah.
You get half to come, you've won.
Yeah.
Because you've given it to all of them, and then you can call them and follow up.
Yeah.
It gives you, people feel bad when they can't come, so they want to do something nice for you.
Hmm.
So then at least take your phone call,
Right. Yeah.
But I think keep it to tennis.
Yeah.
Keep it to tennis. Make it a real traditional tennis experience like the Longwood thing.
Yeah.
Kind of go with the Longwood thing. Whatever they did, I don't know what they did.
Yeah, but replicate it, right? We could do it down there. Then we could start a Philly, Boston sort of, challenge.
Or you can make it a, Philadelphia technology, and, we have venture capital and technology here, through the Wharton and, through your technology. That's a great idea.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah, I like even a Philly, maybe because I don't know if we have the exact same, network of healthcare biotech scientists, but, ultimately we do just like a, and Rick, a lot of the clients or prospects that you have on kind of in your network to have a Philly versus Boston type, and whether it's charity or there's some goofy little prizes for, which city wins, but you host it in Philly and say, you bring 6 to 8 guys and, from the Boston area, you have 6 to 8 of clients or prospects in the Philly area, and you do, the similar thing, a round robin doubles thing, and you would say Philly versus Boston to see, which groups of double teams can be the best, and you match everybody up, and that would be a pretty cool event to have. And again, if it's charity oriented or just relationship network oriented, I think either way it'd be a lot.
But how about it? Most of these guys though already are working with some Philly private equity or Sam is working with a biotech to sit down here, and they're actually, he's coming down again. So they probably could coordinate that. And just tell them about your delivery, Dave, of the Super Bowl bet.
Yeah, so he has Clark, the executive recruiter, had a bet with a private equity firm out in the main line of Philadelphia. And so he said, I lost the bet because I had the Patriots and they had the Eagles, so I have to send him a case of craft beer from New England. He said, but I have no way to ship the beer back. So he said, would you guys be able to take it back for me? I said, yeah, we'll be able to take the beer back. So we have a case of beer. I have a case of beer at my house right now. I'm waiting to deliver to this private equity firm out in Wayne, out on the main line. And Clark said, hey, I'm gonna kind of tee you up, and you know, I don't know how they're represented, you know, obviously from a wealth management standpoint, but I'll tee you and Rick up as, you know, a wealth management team that we work with, that works with a lot of our executives, and you know, you can kind of make some introductions and you know, shake some hands at that firm. So yeah, we'll see.
But it's just another case. I think there's connections that they have down here, and maybe through both of that we can set up this Philly Boston thing.
And keep it, I mean, you got the tennis thing, okay?
Yeah.
So, I think it's genius, okay? So you create your own, if they have one already, great, but find out the tennis players in your group and
right.
Put together a team, and they bring their team down, and it's just a laugh and a lot of fun, but they also, you know, get to know people that they didn't know, and it's all part of the networking thing. But I love that. You know, if they have, how many people were at the tennis event?
Well, there was four, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 courts times 4, 16.
Okay, so bring down 16.
Yeah. No, I think,
would,
you know.
That would be crazy. That'd be great. I mean, Maybe 16 is too many, but think about it. That's, you know, that would be wonderful.
So if we do that, Rob, you're going to get an invite too, baby.
Oh, hey, good.
It's the networking with these futurist guys.
Right, I love that. Well, I've got a tennis lesson this afternoon, you know. I'm trying to tune it up a little bit.
That's awesome.
No, that's fun. It's just, see, people don't understand that busy, busy people love somebody that gets their brain away from the stress and the craziness of their life. And you guys can represent kind of the wonderful guys that give them a break but take care of their stuff. So you're kind of the stress reduction team. Because people see financial services as stress, okay?
Yeah.
And the less stress, you know, so you relieve their stress with tennis, you relieve their stress with your financial planning, with 1242, with rapid response to their problems. You're a stress reduction team. And they love that, see? It's like hiring somebody to mow your lawn instead of you doing it and worrying about it and not wash your car and take care of things.
Yeah.
You're the team that takes care of everything for them so they don't have to.
Yeah. No, I love it.
So you plan the trip and you get it all organized and you're going to, you know, some people are going to have to cancel and that's okay.
All right. Yep.
You know, it's just, and then you start and you do it every year and, the,
yeah.
You know, and just become great friends with these people and it's awesome.
Yeah. No, it's just, we had that, you know, it's one of those things that you know when it's just, it fit, and then even our whole conversation with Sam, it was conversational. If we didn't do that pre-work or have the other relationships that we even, you know, solidified over the weekend, it would have been more of a, I'm sure we would have been in and out of there before 11 o'clock.
Yeah, well, you're, Rick, you're a smoozer, okay? You're a good networker, you're a good relationship builder, and Dave is a good planner, businessman, serious, a little more driving.
Yeah.
So it's really a wonderful combination for both of you. You know, he's going to keep you on track. He's going to,
yep.
You know, close this that you might not have closed right away. But you're going to build those fabulous networks. And I think you're just, I mean, I think this is like day one of your career.
You know, it almost feels that way, seriously. I mean, it's like, really re-energized to see this. And just, you know, another one. So yesterday we had, I think we told you, we had a group of doctors and their business was being bought out. And so Dave and I, we did a presentation about the 401ks. We already had a couple of them. So three of the five were moving, you know, were moving their money over. And just last week, the fourth one said, you know, Rick, can we come in and see you on Tuesday? And I said, absolutely. You know, we figured it was just going to be like a discovery meeting. Nope. He said, based on what all the other doctors said about us, he said, I just want to move my money to you. And let's start this relationship with this. And he goes, you know, let's continue to build. And we told him how we do it. So now we have a financial planning meeting, discovery meeting set up for next week. And then we told him the process. And he just felt good about it. But it was just because of the endorsements of all the other ones.
So how much is that going to mean in new assets?
Plus the $3 million.
For the whole thing?
Well, yeah, but plus we have their other money too, so it's just growing.
It was a total of five doctors that were in this practice that was getting bought out, and four of the five were at the meeting. The one, there was one doctor who I think had some family or personal issues going on, so he was not at the meeting. He's the one that has not really engaged us in terms of relationships, said he's okay right now, but thanked us for, you know, offering our services. But the other four doctors all rolled over their retirement plans from their older plan, as opposed to moving them into the new plan with the new their new merged practice. So the four doctors, the average was about, you know, $700,000 for each of those four doctors. So it was an additional, you know, almost $3 million that rolled over to us.
Yeah.
We probably already had an existing, you know, $2 to $2.5 million from three of the doctors in just, you know, retirement and non-retirement assets from pre-existing relationships. So now, you know, for these four doctors, I would say at this point it's the four doctors, maybe it's, you know, $5 to $6 million between the four. And, you know, they're all building and they're all relatively, you know, they're in their young 50s. I would say most of them young to mid-50s. It's not like they're 80-year-old clients. They're still, you know, making good money. So, you know, it's a good little group that we have there.
And I think, Rob, they can use your term. I mean, they've enthusiastically endorsed us.
See, that's fabulous. That's fabulous.
So I can see others. I can see others. So we want to take, here's our idea. We want to take the whole group out for a dinner, to, you know, just as appreciation for doing that, because now we know that they are enthusiastically endorsing us to let know about others.
And they're, yeah, and they're a part of a very large, they merged with a much bigger practice. You know, I don't know how much engagement they have with the other, they're all OBGYN doctors, so I'm not sure how much engagement interaction they have now with this kind of broader group, but this practice is, I think it's the largest OBGYN practice in the country that they kind of merged with. So, you know, and they're big proponents and advocates of us, what we do, so, you know, we're really trying to push for, you know, more introductions in that space. You know, I'm sure they will be meeting other doctors within the organization, so, you know, we're really trying to keep pushing for, you know, referral business and getting us in the door and talking to the other doctors maybe that they start interacting with that are part of this bigger practice.
Have you asked them what it is that they valued from their previous experience?
Not directly, no.
Okay, so that's your job this week or this month.
Okay.
I want to ask them this question. What are the three? Look, you know, we really appreciate this relationship. Let me ask you a question. What are the three things that you value the most from the work that we've done with you over the last several years?
Okay. No, that's good. I mean, yeah, I don't. I've never asked them directly. And I think it's, I mean, if I had an answer to that, what I think it is, it's just the process, the, you know, again, the trust, Yep. And, you know, the performance would probably even be the last thing. It's not just performance. This is the relationship. We do have a strong relationship with all of them because they've all done planning. They've all done, you know, we just do the, you know, doing the right things for them.
Well, that's great. That's great. And the reason I ask that is because that is what they're going to say about you.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you say, well, they love us. Yeah, but what are they actually saying?
Yeah.
And can you reinforce that then?
So, you know, I do think, you know, it's building trust.
Yeah, I asked this question of people at the end of the session, you know, what are the three big takeaways? And what I find is, you know, if it's a team that I'm asking the question, they will give me, one person will give me three, and then the other two will bump in and say, yeah, but this too, and then this too. Mm-hmm. And then I go, is there anything else, you know, just so I can feed back to my team, is there anything else? So I may get six things that they like,
yeah,
that they value, you see? And do you know how valuable that is to know not... Yeah. What it is that they value, but you actually heard it from them.
Yep.
And here's the other thing. This is the coaching part you pay for, okay?
Yeah.
What you're doing is you're moving it from their short-term memory to their long-term memory. So by asking that question, you're actually helping them to remember what to say about you in the future because they articulated it. But you're also turning them into better salespeople for you.
Mm.
Because you can then re-articulate it maybe in a way that can help them be, say it better. Because they may kind of know what it is that they value, but they're not articulating it as well as they should be. Because they're not salespeople, you know.
Yeah.
They don't practice this. So anyway,
I think, you know, it's been a productive, you know, since our last call. I mean, it just seems, you know, we have good momentum. But that was from a personal and business, it was a great weekend trip, worth every nickel and time that we just spent doing it, because I think it definitely solidified. And Dave and I, we both just expressed, we're going to be up here more. So this is part of, you know, because we'll have other clients and we're going to, you know, continue to build out. So.
Well, I love the fact that you played tennis. Okay. I think that was really, really smart. And I think you should really do that every time you come in.
Oh, absolutely. So when they come down. Now I told Dave though, I got to find out about his game. I got to get him up to start. He's a very good athlete. Dave's a good athlete. He's working out.
I just gotta get maybe a lesson or two. I've played tennis. It's not like I've never played, but I play tennis, you know, kind of with some of my buddies, you know, once or twice a year. You know, I've never been an avid tennis player, so I gotta work on that on my personal.
We're gonna get you out. I gotta gauge you, just like, you know, when Rob gives his. Well, did you say you were a coach at one point, Rob?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
So that's what I got to take Dave out first, so we can, you know, just see where he's at. So as a benchmark of where we can take him, but he'll pick it up quickly because, you know, being a good athlete, a basketball player, he has the movement, the eye hand coordination, and all that stuff. It's gonna be you'll pick it up easily. But it is, that's where I started, but I never really took lessons until later, and it'll be good to get to learn the right way the first time.
I took my best friend who was an athlete, and he didn't play tennis in high school, and I taught him tennis. And we went to the Eastern Mass Championships, and then the runners-up in the New England Championships together in double.
All right. So there you go. We'll get you up, baby.
Sounds good. Love it.
I'm hitting it okay now. I got a new racket, a little heavier, smaller handle, you know, and it's a different game. I got to learn a little, you know, newer game.
Yeah. Well, you're moving well. I mean, it seems like as we age, it's all about everyone's fighting through different types of injuries or something that's.
You got to keep bending, you know. So
yeah.
I've got a good coach, and he, you know, he works me hard. So I'm volleying better than I ever have. So
that's awesome.
That's kind of good, you know.
So Rob, I could see us on a court one day.
Yeah, why not? Right?
I know. Well, maybe you'll be up at this Philly Boston challenge that we're going to set up.
You know, I've got our whole family was a tennis family. You know, my dad was a great tennis player and a badminton champion of New England, and my mom was a good player, and my brothers all played in college. So.
Oh wow! So you have the genetics.
When I go to Longwood, you know, it's like I said, I ball boyed for Rod Laver and those guys, you know, Stan Smith and
Hunter
and all those guys. So it brings back great memories. I get chills, you know, thinking about it. It's so cool.
It is a cool thing. So we'll get Dave introduced to it now. So
yeah, it's very special. It's a warm spot in my heart.
All right. So we'll do those things about, you know, just asking them, you know, what they value. But it's nice. It feels good, you know, when you hear these things from them, to be honest with you.
Oh, it is. It's really good. Yeah. And, you know, when you're finishing up an interview, always keep that, ask that value question. You know, what are the three things that you valued from working with us in the last couple of years? And that's just to, you know, to know what's important to them. And then you can also say, you know, just so we're always trying to get better. So is there anything that you would like us to do that we're not doing now?
Good point.
Yeah.
And that kind of legitimizes the first question, because you're not just looking for accolades, then. You're really looking for legitimate feedback, and then always be writing those things down. And then do share those with your team, because you want to make sure that you continue to do the things that they are valuing. And then add or stop doing the things that they, you know, want you to offer, they want you to add in. So I think that can be very, very helpful.
Good. Perfect,
Rob. In terms of structure, you're doing your 12-4-2s. Are you using the agenda and the executive summary?
Yeah, and that's been very effective.
Really good. Really good. Yeah, it's very powerful. What I tell people is that it reduces, as you know, our average client is 65, and I ask them, do you remember when you used to have to take your parents to the airport? When they would want to leave for the airport, like 2 hours in advance before they even had the problems with the airports, right, without security. They'd still want to be there 2 hours in advance. Why? Because they want to reduce stress. And I tell people, I'm that guy now, you know. I'm going to be there 2 hours in advance. And I said, I never thought I used to be the guy running through the airport, you know? Not anymore. Because, you know, I'm not a kid anymore. So everything you can do to reduce your client's stress by doing the financial plan, making them feel safe, 12-4-2, regular client contact, an agenda, an executive summary, those things reduce their stress dramatically. They love you for it because you're taking care. And so, you know, that's what you do. And then you take good care of their kids and make sure that they're safe, they're going to do well. And then you're just like their son, you know. They adopt you then. And then they want to help. So.
Yeah. I like it. So, we're making progress, Rob.
No, you're doing great, Rick. Congratulations. And during the week, if there's something that you guys are brainstorming about, you want some advice, always email me. Or if you want to create an agenda of things that you want to discuss, email me that ahead of time, and then I can think about it.
Perfect.
Okay?
Well, that's good. But thank you for, coaching us through, even this Boston trip. I mean, it was always helpful. I mean, just the way, just getting it set up and what to think about, what to present, and Sam is a very analytical, forward thinker, and we were showing him a lot of the pieces he's going to have to start thinking about if his estate does start growing to $10 to $20 million versus where it's at now. He loved it.
Yeah, he's going to be in the $30, $35, $40 million range pretty quick. And then estate taxes and things become real. And so that's the good news with this environment we're in. People are going to get quite wealthy.
Well, we want to be there.
Yep, you will.
And the last piece is, though, I'm going to give credit. I have to, honestly, I could not have done all this without Dave. Doing it as a team has given me more, not only confidence, but it just helps us. We play off one another. It's a better feeling because, Dave is, and I tee him up as the expert in the planning area. And, he can run with that. And he handles himself very well, which is nice. And that's why, we have this. And then I think the other thing, everybody sees the energy and that we have, that we feed off each other. And that's apparent, too. So, anyway. I think I lost you guys.
I'm still here. I was listening to all my praise. I don't know if Bob's still there.
He didn't listen to all the good shit, Dave.
There you go. Well, I listen. Rick, I really appreciate it. That was some very kind words you said.
Oh, wait. He just called.
Oh.
Margaret, can you connect us? That's funny. Hold on, Margaret's connecting us, I think. Hello?
Yeah, I think you lost him. I can't do it from my machine.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, well, we're pretty much done. Anyway.
I was just knocking up Dave, too, to Rob.
Yep. Well, I'm going to send... Well, anyways, I'm going to be sending you guys, since you're both on... I'm going to send you, Rogers and Margaret. The only thing I don't have is how you want to go about for the My Total Picture. So I will say, upon setting up your online access, you will also be...
Moderator has joined the conference.
All right, guys, I got cut off. Just as you said, one thing I have to discuss.
Well, one of the things I was singing Dave's praises on how it is how valuable it is to have him, us doing it together, and if you got cut off, and Dave was on there, but no, it's really been the fact of the two of us doing this together. It just helps me to just move forward on some things where I'd be more hesitant and. Because not knowing this or that, but I, we position Dave as he is the planning expert, and he handles that very well. And the other piece is that, I think it's apparent for anybody that's around us now, they see that we feed off each other's energy, which is a pretty cool thing. And so it is where now we're getting to the point where, we're getting more out of it than just one, our one-on-one is coming to, to three now, not... we're feeding off each other.
No, and that's fabulous. And that's the other part about as you build out this network, you think, well, what can I get out of it? You don't know what you're going to get out of it because the energy that you and Dave have together, you could not have predicted that. You thought, well, he'll do you had a plan, right? You'll bring this and he'll bring that.
Right.
But what you've created is this third energy. And that was not predictable. And that's what you can get when you create this kind of mastermind group or this networking thing. When you get the right people. But remember, when you build your group out, build it out of givers, okay? It's fine to have your tennis network, and that'd be fun, and that'd be a riot. But when you're building out your true mastermind group, make sure they're all givers. Because you guys are. And you'll be great as long as you have only givers in the group. You can't have any takers.
Yeah.
Okay? So just keep that in mind. So congratulations. You guys got great energy. That's what teams are all about. That's what people don't understand about teams.
Yeah.
And it's probably the single most important thing about teams. When you get it right. It isn't just two guys working together. That's the part.
Yeah.
And we're having fun. And we're having fun, Rob, too.
Well, you're going to have a lot more fun than you had because, you know, Rick, you and I probably are the same. We love playing doubles.
Yeah.
You know? We're better doubles players than we are singles players because we care more.
Yeah.
You know, we want help. We're givers. And so when you get that mentality and you know that's who you are, then you know you need to have a team.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. So just keep it going. Keep me up to date. Love what you're doing. Congratulations. You're the best.
Thanks for your help, Rob. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
See ya.
Thank you. Bye-bye.